Okay. My name is Masai Lord. I'm a staff attorney for the Legal Aid Society. I think it's important to be here. I think that we have to show solidarity with the community, with the family, with Eric Garner's family, and we got to protest this unjust decision. I mean, it's unfortunate that we have a system that disproportionately impacts people of color, poor people, people who don't have the access to a lot of things that the people who do have money have access to in this country. And we need to come out here and show solidarity and our support to the community and the people who are most affected by this. I think it was a gross injustice. You have a rule to homicide. You have videotape. You know, you have pretty much everything you need in order to get an indictment. So it kind of shows a double standard. And look, you know, the reality is that our clients don't get that special treatment. You know, our clients are going to get indicted if they have them on videotape, and they're going to get a charge, at least manslaughter or criminal negligent homicide. So, I mean, the reality is that there's a double standard for police officers that doesn't apply to average New York citizens. I mean, a chokehold is clearly a violation of New York Police Department policy. But beyond that, you know, there was ample opportunity while the hold was taking place to release the pressure, and he told them that I can't breathe. He made it quite clear that, you know, he was struggling to survive. So this idea that just because he started chokehold, he had to finish it. First of all, chokehold isn't proper, but he started chokehold, he had to finish the chokehold all the way till he died. Well, that's ridiculous. I think it's important for us to show our support in the community. I think we have to show that, you know, these lives matter, black lives matter, poor people lives matter, and we need to get out on the streets and talk to our politicians and get involved and ensure that, you know, people are held accountable when they make these decisions, and that we're not going to stop fighting until we get justice.
My name is Matthew Allen. The reason that I'm here is because I wanted to observe to see the people, what kind of people and who are out supporting the injustices that have been going on in the United States for some time now. I wanted to do something. I didn't want to just sit around and not do anything. I felt that compelled to be out here to make sure that I show the support in some way, shape, or form, and to hopefully gain inspiration to find something much more constructive to do to help bring about the change that this country needs, rather than just holding signs up and making chants, which is admirable for now, but for the future we're going to need to do something much more drastic and much more constructive in order to gauge the change ourselves. People don't understand, when people say they need to get out and vote, it's not necessarily important to go out and vote for the president or the mayor or anything like that. It's the people in their own backyards, their community board leaders, you know, the representatives in Congress and things of that nature. Those are the people who are looking out for you on a much more immediate scale. Those are the type of people that really need to be paid attention to. And that's a good point about community. You know, you have to make sure that the people that are closest to you is looking out for your best interests, because they'll help you more immediately than somebody that's from afar that can only help people on a large scale.
I'm here today because Black Lives do matter. It's outrageous that this continues to happen, and people make the argument that justice has been served. But if this is our justice system, then it needs to be reformed, and it needs to be reformed now, because I cannot continue to have people who look like me, people who look like my nephews, people who look like my brothers, people who look like my fathers, continue to be killed and nothing happens. This is injustice, and the system needs to be reformed now, right now.
What do you think about this turnout?
I think it's beautiful. I mean, we live in a city where rallies are not uncommon, but what you see here is people coming together who look totally different. People from all walks of life, people from all parts of the city, people from out of town who are here because they know that what is continuing to happen is not right.
Don't shoot! 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 teacher of elementary school kids, and they understand what's going on, if not the context, but they understand the feeling and they understand the emotion. So I'm out here for them, because they're not going to be out here, so I'm out here for them.
Wow, that's a unique perspective.
Yep.
So what are you going to bring back to them?
Hope. I think that's why a lot of people are out here, and justice, and that there are ways that they can participate, if not by being out here, but by other ways and giving their support, helping out in their own communities, because I work in a school in Bed-Stuy, so they understand a lot of this already, innately, even if they don't have the words for it. So for them, giving them a sense of justice in the world that we're going to hand to them. So.
However, there was no justice in this case.
No.
Right. And how are you going to impart that information, if I might ask?
First, to process it for myself before I try and process it with them, and try and figure out a way to explain that the system can change, but it won't happen overnight. It might not happen in my lifetime, maybe in their lifetime, maybe in their kids' lifetime, but that we keep doing things like this and we keep fighting for change in as many ways as possible so that something will happen one day.
This is not an isolated incident with what happened on Staten Island or in Ferguson, Missouri. This has been happening since America has been America. And hopefully there is a movement to really make some change now. I'm hoping that this is less about the individual cases themselves, about what happened on Staten Island, what happened in Ferguson, because the details are unclear to me from what I'm getting from the news media in terms of what happened in those specific incidents. But in general, this needs to change. White cops are killing black unarmed people, and that's got to change.
My name is Barbara Owens, and I'm here because, once again, the justice system of the United States has failed us. Once again, they issued a verdict that said black lives don't matter. We will not and we cannot accept this verdict. I personally am very angry. I cannot believe that we continue to have a country where black people who helped build this country, who worked as hard as anyone else, continues to be mistreated. And it's not even, sometimes there has to be the spirit of the law. When you say to me that someone is guilty of something, like selling his own cigarettes, okay, I'll buy it. But if I had been a white guy selling my own cigarettes, you would have walked up to me and said, excuse me, sir, that's illegal. Put it in your pocket and move on. That's what I want. I want you to walk up to me selling an illegal cigarette and say, excuse me, mister, it's illegal. Put it in your pocket and walk on. And until that day happens, there's not much anybody can say to me about, oh, it's going to be better. We're working at it. Quite frankly, we're tired of working at it. Why should we continue to have to work at it? But we will, because we don't have any other choice. So I'm here tonight, cold and all, to say, Black Lives Matter!
I was in the Bronx, which is where I live, and I was walking down the street. I was going to visit somebody. Sort of zoned out just walking, and I happened to look ahead of me coming down this particular block. And there were a group of what were obviously undercover policemen. You know, I could see guns on their hips, you know. Of course, I didn't want to walk through the middle of that, so I decided to step off the curb and go around them. As soon as I stepped off the curb, I was grabbed by one or two undercover cops. And immediately, I had to have an awareness that the arm they grabbed had to go dead for me. I couldn't move it. I couldn't have any sort of muscle twitch because I was aware that if they sensed anything like that, I could have been beaten, arrested, killed. I don't know where it could have gone. So all these things had to go through my mind while they searched me, asked me if I took my ID, checked for warrants, asked me if I had any warrants, which I don't know why they would have taken my word for it anyway, and it is their job to check. And I do have the right not to incriminate myself, even if I did have warrants out. However, the things that go through your mind, especially as a male of color, when you're on an interaction with police, is a million. Your attention is focused on them. It's focused on what you have to do to hopefully not be beaten, arrested, or killed. And it's just an awareness that you have to have all the time. You know, they do interesting little tactics. A cop in a car or in a scooter will ride. Well, you know, I've had instances where a police officer in a scooter will swerve and ride directly at me in an attempt to see if I'll flee or do something else. And I'm looking like, what are you doing? You know, and he just turns and goes about his business. You know, a lot of phishing techniques, a lot of entrapment techniques, you know, because again, their job isn't to prevent crime, it's to make arrests. To Eric Gardner, they should have, if they wanted to do it, if they wanted to have some sort of interaction, ask him for his identification, because that's one of the things they do. Issued him a summons, because selling loose cigarettes is not a jail time offense. It is not an offense where you are supposed to die, right? There was no reason why they needed all those police officers to interact with him. But that is another thing that frequently happens when police deal with individuals of color. You know, you'll frequently see three, five or more police officers for one individual of color. You know, if they did not have any evidence that he actually sold a loose cigarette at that time, they should have left the scene, because they could not prove any crime had been committed or any misdemeanor had been committed. It was not an arrest situation, it was a summons situation. You know, the mayor and the police commissioner came out a couple of weeks ago saying that people who were found in possession of small amounts of marijuana will not be arrested. Does that mean they will be shot? Does that mean they will have a chokehold put on them and die? It's selling loose cigarettes is less of an offense than having marijuana in your possession. No? Their procedures are misguided and archaic in some degree, and discriminatory and racist in others. These things are not enforced evenly, equally, and clearly, all people in the city are not treated the same, you know, and that is a big problem. And that's why one of the reasons this rally is happening. It is just horrendous, you know. Again, these are Eric Gardner's taxes paid these officers, you know. They are his employees. You know? They approached him with no courtesy, no professionalism, and no respect. The slogans that are written on the sides of their patrol cars, they manifested none of that. In a more affluent neighborhood, would they have approached someone differently who was selling loose cigarettes? Probably. But Eric Gardner didn't get that treatment. And that's a huge injustice, regardless of the color of his skin. That's a huge injustice. But it was because of the color of his skin why he got that type of treatment. I think a lot of people know that. A lot of people have difficulty actually believing that. They don't want to believe it, you know, because it would mean that, you know, what they have come to believe isn't true. You know, what they've been told countless times isn't true. But unfortunately, they don't experience it firsthand. So then everything becomes up for debate. You know, we want everyone who puts on a badge, you know, to be able to come home safe, but, you know, and be safe. But there are standards it is a job that, you know, you should be held accountable for doing it, for the way in which you conduct yourself on that job. And there should be consequences.
Right, thank you very much.
We say fight back!
You say get back!
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 We say fight back!
Well, my name is Joseph Umpa. I'm here because, you know, it's just gotten to a point. You know, one of the things I have to agree with in terms of Al Sharpton, when he recently said in reference to that the grand jury is to convene to decide whether or not something should go to trial. The grand jury is not the trial. So when the grand jury decides that they're not going to indict, even though there is a videotape which clearly would indicate that there should be probable cause in reference to the incident, as Commissioner Bracken himself said, it looked like a chokehold to me. The fact that the system, Staten Island, which is still part of the city, anyway, the system has allowed this to perpetuate is what is troubling and is what is dangerous. Because this is only building something that at some point they will not be able to stop. I mean, it's part of a pattern, but it's not a new pattern. If you look at the numbers in terms of unarmed blacks being killed by police officers, you'll see that it has been rising, okay? I saw those statistics in Daily Kos, anyway. But, so it's part of a pattern. And, you know, if we don't stand up for ourselves, and fortunately others realize this and are standing with black people, it won't stop. You know, it's not something that's going to stop by itself. Well, you know, the rally is just a start, and in one sense, the rally is a reaction to the decision, and you can see people are venting their emotional, their rage, their anger, their frustration. It is really about concrete action, and part of that concrete action is compelling the system to do the right thing. And that happens when people not only voice in terms of, you know, marches, but also in terms of letters to their elected officials and emails to elected officials, and letting them understand the ramifications of if you sit back and do nothing, then something will happen to you. And what I mean by that is that you will not be elected, you will not be allowed to continue. So when they say shut it down, what they're talking about is this system which keeps repeating this needs to be shut down. The, you know, the greed on Wall Street, all of it is contained. This is economic inequality. All of this, it all comes together, you know.
Ms. Margarita Rosario, unfortunately, I'm one of the parents that also lost a child to police brutality. On January 12th, my son Anthony Rosario received 14 shots to his back while he was face down on the floor. My nephew Hilton Vega received 8 shots to his back while he was also down on the face down on the floor. This happened by Patrick Bronson and James Crow, who were former bodyguard to former Mayor Giuliani on January 12, 1995. When my son was killed, Bratton was in office, and he's in office again. When my son was killed, Mayor Giuliani at that time called the 46th precinct to congratulate Patrick Bronson and James Crow on a job well done. This is the kind of mayor that he was, and this is the kind of commissioner that we had then, that every 2 weeks a young man was being murdered and killed in the hands of police. There's a film based on my story called Justified by Homicide.